Red Blue Hoops is presented by German American Bank. From the banks of the Ohio River in Evansville, Indiana, this is Red Blue Hoops with fanatical Red host Chad Payton and obsessive Blue host Evan Beck.
I'm your voice of the Kentucky Wildcats, Evan Beck, and joining me again tonight as the voice of the Indiana Hoosiers is Chad Payton. Chad, welcome back to the night show.
Yes. Folks, everyone, welcome to Bar Louie. We've been talking about this for a while, so very excited to talk hoops. We have a lot of things to cover tonight, but most importantly, we want to hear from the audience. So
yes.
Walker is going to be taking calls, or not calls, but questions. Just be, as Evan said earlier, be very concise on that. But also get your time and take advantage. So, again, thanks for coming out. We're very excited to talk some hoops tonight.
Absolutely, Chad. And for our listeners out there in 88.3 land and on live streaming, we are not taking any calls tonight. We're doing all comments and questions from the floor here at Bar Louie on the east side of Evansville. So, since last week's show, Chad, both teams had a couple of games.
We did.
And going into this past week, Kentucky was on a four-game losing streak. Only the, eighth time in program history. So the eighth time in 88 years that we've had a four-game losing streak. So
yeah.
I was almost in panic mode thinking about coming out here in front of all these people, dealing with Wayne and the shooters of the world, if I'd lost two more. But thankfully, Kentucky turned it around and turned in two of their best performances of the year offensively. We scored 81 points against Alabama and 87 points on the road against the Hogs. What do you think about that, Chad?
For what it's worth, I like you a lot, but I was hoping you were going to come in with a lot more losses.
Yeah,
so,
I know.
You know, I wanted you to face the team and nation out here with a couple more losses, but it didn't happen. You guys played well.
They did.
Deserve it.
They did. Thank goodness. You know, I put out a missing persons report a couple weeks ago looking for Kentucky's offense, and we finally found it.
You did. Maybe
and,
that got
I know
going.
You're an offensive-minded guy. I think you hit, three threes for modern day in 27 seconds?
28 seconds. I only played like 30 seconds that game, but my points per every 24 minutes was like 35 a game or something like that, or 40.
Your plus minus was high.
That was my coach in modern day, though, so that's what you get.
So since last week, Chad, how have the Hoosiers fared?
Yeah, so last week on Saturday we played Iowa, which was a pretty good game. It started out a little ugly early. As actually we got down 13 points, and I was a little nervous. I was getting texts from some of the folks in the room tonight, Wayne over here, like, oh, man, here we go again. That's very common with us, though, and we were and shooter out there too, but we got it going. Robert Johnson playing with a lot of senior determination, sense of urgency. He was pulling his inner Steve Alford. I felt 9 for 12 from three. How about that?
9 for 12.
9 for 12.
That was a different Robert Johnson than I'm thinking of this
yeah.
season.
Yeah, that is an Indiana record. It actually ties a record. Matt Roth set that. Jordan Halls did it. And Roderick Wilmot, for those who have been around for a while, seen him. Devontae Green, he's kind of taken over the if Indiana fans know, we have, like, good Troy, bad Troy. Now we have good Devontae, bad Devontae. So Devontae was good on Saturday, and he had 18 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists. He played well. He played good defense. And what he does more than anything is he allows Robert Johnson to play his natural two. So he does not have to dribble a lot, and Robert Johnson was focused on jump shots and doing his thing, and he played well. So combination of him playing well and then allowing Devontae or allowing Robert Johnson to do his thing.
Now, so. Speaking of Iowa, there's a local connection to Iowa. Former Castle Knight great Jack Nungy is a Hawkeye. How did Jack do against the Hoosiers?
He played well. He's a big kid, so I see him having a pretty good career up in Iowa. So I hope they never beat us, but good for him. I'll be cheering Castle on.
Yeah, good kid.
He has to get on.
Great work ethic out there at Iowa.
Absolutely. A couple other stats on that game. Justin Smith had 15-3, continued his very good play.
Yeah, he's on the climb now.
He's on the climb. He's got the green arrow up right now. And I'm very excited about him. I think he's going to have a big career in Indiana, so especially coming back next year. And then Freddie McSwain, I think a couple of weeks ago, you guys follow us here on Red Blue. I wasn't a very big McSwain fan, but I gotta give him credit. He's been playing better.
That's an understatement,
understatement of the year. Yeah. Yeah, I think I actually tweeted a while back that in 20 years when I run into Archie Miller, he probably will have won two national titles by then, and the only question I'll have for him is, why did Freddie McSwain get minutes in 2018? And he'll probably say, who? Who are you talking about?
He won't even remember McSwain.
That's right.
You got McSwain and McRoberts.
The McBot, yeah, it's the McMack brothers, I guess.
Double Max.
Double Max. So, yeah. But anyway, we pulled off 84-82 win. Got a little tight at the end, but we made the plays. Took us to 9-7 in the conference, which that's, for where we were, it's pretty nice. And to your point, a while back you said, hey, we need to take care of the games we should.
Yep.
And that was one of them.
That's so, right. You guys had four games in a row. You were favored.
Yeah, we did. And we took care of biz, so that was kind of nice. That brought us to Nebraska the other night, and I was praying that we would have that win to talk about tonight. But it wasn't to be. Nebraska actually at home is 15-1. Their only loss is to Kansas. So that home court is a pretty tough place to play. I think I was talking to a few people before the show. They had that goofy bench mob that I was getting tired of seeing. The Big Ten Network kept showing
Teresa
that.
Teresa Gray has an issue with the bench mob in Nebraska.
Teresa, that's right. She said that. So, yeah. But those guys, they're goofy just like their coach is the way I look at it. Tim Miles is
wow.
A goofball. So, yeah, I'm taking a shot at Nebraska too. But, no, we didn't get it done. 9-8 in the conference now, but that sets us up for Ohio State tomorrow night. And Red right here is saying we're going to pull that one off to finish 10-8. So.
Is there a line on the Ohio State game yet? Anybody seen a line on that game?
That's a good question. I'm going to have to look at that. I would say that Ohio State will probably be -2, maybe 2-5.
Ohio State's what, 14 right now?
14,
13 ranked?
Yeah, but
pretty good squad.
There's a lot on the line. Archie Miller was not happy the other night after that Nebraska game, so he's going to be ready to go. And one last thing for the Hoosier fans. I meant to bring Kleenexes for everybody because I know we're going to be crying a ton when Josh Newkirk graduates tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure you will.
Yeah. So, I'm going to shed a tear in happiness. So.
And you guys, I have noticed something about your fan base this year. You guys are pretty hard on your players.
Well.
No yeah. Love loss between the Hoosier fans and their bad players.
We have some players that probably shouldn't be playing. And that's changing, though. Help is on the way.
Help is on the way.
Yes.
Awesome. One and a half right now, Walker, the intern.
I said
brings
two.
The one. Yeah, you're on it.
I like those people in the desert.
So, Hoosier fans out there, are you guys surprised that line tomorrow? 1.5, Ohio State, Friday night at home. You surprised, Wayne? Nope. Confident?
We're going to win that game. Absolutely.
Tell you what, folks. John Lamb over here yapping to his daughter, Emily. I wanted to personally reach out to our folks here from German American Bank. We came into the season with season 4 a little bit light on the sponsorship, and we had really good feedback last year and excellent numbers on the data on the show. And I was able to sit down with John one Friday night, and we talked about it, and he made a very quick decision and stepped up to become the show sponsor this year and logo wear sponsor this year. So
yeah.
Thanks to German American Bank, and there's a lot of those team members here tonight. So with that, I came up with a little game we're going to play tonight. We're going to have the GAB cheer-off, okay? It's really
uh-oh.
Simple. We're going to give the Hoosiers a chance and the Big Blue a chance to figure out who's going to cheer the loudest now, okay? So we're going to go – since Indiana has the losing – or the – I'm sorry.
What? Okay.
Since Indiana has the lesser of the record so far this year, we're going to go IU first. So on the count of three, I'm going to hear the Hoosier fans. 1, 2, 3. Boo.
That's a pretty good group.
It's not bad.
Who's going to vote on this?
All right, Big Blue Nation, here we go. Big Blue Nation, let me hear you. 1, 2, 3.
I don't know.
Hank, it's already a done deal, Chad. So anyway, all the Big Blue Nation folks out there,
yeah, you guys
German American Bank, a drink on GAB for winning that contest. I'm just kidding, John. Don't worry about it. Going real quick, hey, folks, reminder of the game plan tonight. You guys are welcome to ask questions and make comments. I noticed that some of our All-American callers are over here having some dinner. But raise your hand or come up to the front. There we go. Shooter.
Uh-oh.
Let's go, Walker.
Oh, we can go.
You ready?
We can go.
Yeah.
All right.
Again, so, folks.
I'll get you a second, Wayne.
Some of our listeners.
All right, Shooter.
Shooter calls in every week.
All right,
man.
Here we go. No, I got to hold the mic.
Yeah.
Say what?
Fire up. Here we go.
Evan, I wanted to reach out to you real quick and just talk to you. got my sign on that says Evan Beck's my best friend here, 2018.
Yeah.
Hey, a couple of things here, Evan. The first one is, what do you think Kentucky's most known for? Two things.
All right. So the question by Shooter is, what two things is Kentucky most known for? Are you talking about Kentucky basketball?
Just Kentucky, period.
Kentucky, period. Well, I think the Kentucky Derby and Kentucky basketball would be my top two choices.
All right, let's get an answer on that from Shooter. Oh, boy.
Actually, Evan, the two things that Kentucky's most known for are bourbon and Kentucky basketball recruiting violations.
Oh, man.
Evan, while I have the microphone here, I wanted to let you know that there's two coaches in NCAA history who have two vacated Final Fours. And one of them's Rick Pitino, and one of them is John Calipari. And they both coached at Kentucky. And I wanted to get your feeling on that. And one of them recruited Richie Farmer.
Richie Farmer. There's a Richie Farmer sighting.
A Richie Farmer comment tonight on Red Blue Hoops.
One of the Unforgettables. Is that right?
He was one of the Unforgettables from Clay County. I actually played against Richie Farmer the summer before my senior year. We were in the AAU finals. And All-American Chris Bowles from USI.
Oh, absolutely.
Was our starting center, and I was his backup that summer. Chris gets in foul trouble, and I'm guarding Richie. He dropped 36 on us.
No kidding.
Yeah, but
he's a heck of a shooter.
He was 6 feet tall, and I was 6'4" at the time. He would back me down, pull up on a jumper, and his belt buckle would be about right here on me. He could play.
He could.
Chad, I wanted to reach out to you regarding this upcoming Friday night.
Yes.
The most anticipated senior night in Indiana basketball history.
Yes,
Tony from Blue Chips is going to graduate.
Yes.
He has a bad case of passing-itis.
He does.
I watched the Nebraska game, which I told you that we weren't going to win.
Yep.
And he comes in and instantly throws the ball away in crunch time. I'm curious to think, with all these Indiana fans that want Romeo Langford, and I want Romeo Langford too, if you look at the incoming class that we have
yes.
and the way that we play defense,
yes.
the only thing we are lacking is length, talent, and shooting.
The only thing.
And those three things are coming next year.
Okay.
So
that was a lot.
As of right now, 2018, I think Indiana beats Kentucky.
Interesting.
I agree. I've said Bulls that.
Safe. Interesting. You're talking about the 79th ranked team on the RBH Index versus the 21st ranked team, who just rolled Arkansas at home by, 15?
I still – Kentucky would be favored, but I would say Indiana's right there with them. I agree. 100%.
And I'm not a Tom Crean fan, but the one thing he got right in his 8 years there is that it's Indiana. One more thing here before I go really quick.
I just wanted
to let you know. I defer my time to the distinguished gentleman from Southern Indiana, known as Wayne Schumacher.
Okay.
He has some great information for us all.
Thank you, guys.
Have a good night.
All right.
NIT stands for New Indiana Team.
All right.
New Indiana Team. All right.
Good call.
He says one
Let
more
me come
thing.
Here. You come
he,
up here.
But he says 10 more things.
One. All right. We got Wayne.
Wayne.
Wayne has documents.
All right. I got some good documentation here.
Mike.
I know that you're a data guy because you say numbers don't lie, right, Evan?
That's right.
Okay. Here's some numbers for you.
Wow, we got red and blue.
We have programs presented here tonight.
Oh my God.
So they both got data. You've been calling Indiana a
mid-major, we got to keep this
right?
moving and short here.
Okay,
all right,
this will be short.
Let's get to the point.
And in the last 5 years, I've compiled all the data. Indiana is number three in wins and losses out of all the SEC teams. Over the last 5 years, only two teams are better, UK and Florida.
Which makes sense.
Last thing is, you also like the numbers because you say, hey, you go by tournament wins, right? Correct?
No, I was just talking about Indiana's tournament wins.
Keep going.
There would be four teams that would be better out of the SEC than Indiana. Obviously, Kentucky would be one. I call Kentucky, they're elite.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Elite.
They're an elite team. Indiana's not been elite, right?
Right.
I'm good with that.
Right.
But the numbers don't lie.
Right.
We're not a mid-major. So if Kentucky is as good as you say they are, which I think they are, Indiana would be third in your conference. So basically, you're playing in a mid-major conference now.
We're a mid-major. Just remember, check this out.
Wow.
Over the last
Never does.
One thing I commented on in the last 30 years, you take the Big Ten and Big 12 and combine them as one conference. The SEC has six national titles. Those two conferences together have three.
And I think that's to his
SEC,
point,
baby.
Three to six, SEC over two conferences. And my point, I wasn't – when I say data, I'm not talking to you as an individual Indiana fan. I'm talking about your program and the numbers they produced the last 20 years, 59% winning percentage, one time past the Sweet 16 – if that's what you like, go for it. For me, I wouldn't be satisfied with it. That's all I was saying. So
that's why we fired Tom Crean, though.
Exactly. Going on back to Kentucky, again, I mentioned that we were thankfully got two W's in the win column. We hosted Alabama last week in Rupp Arena, Saturday on CBS. Bama came in as one of the hottest teams in the SEC. They had won four in a row, and we had lost four in a row. So Alabama was playing very well. Had a great crowd there. I think John and Julie were there from here in the crowd, maybe some others. But the atmosphere was really Tom Bailey was in Rupp that night. Tom Bailey from Veteran over there. So great crowd. And the one thing that Kentucky did differently, they have been in the previous like 10 or so games, they dominated the boards, Chad. They absolutely killed Alabama on the boards. And Alabama's a long athletic team. And a lot of that has to do with Jared Vanderbilt. His rebounds per minute is off the charts this year. P.J. Washington, Vanderbilt, and Knox all made big plays late. And as during our losing streak, our team was showing the inability to make consistent big plays late in the game.
Sure.
Quade Green, little point guard, had the eye injury early.
Yep.
He played, I think, his best game of the season. His ball handling, his floor general ship of the game was fantastic. Made a lot of good passes down low, so it enabled us to pull away late.
So they playing Green and Shy together a lot?
They are. They're playing them a lot together.
Yeah, that
no
makes
question.
Sense. Yep.
All right, folks, that wraps up our first segment. We're going to go to break, our first live remote here
good
at Bar Louie, and we'll be right back in about a minute and a half. Thank you. Go Big Blue.
Go Hoosiers.
Support for Red Blue Hoops comes from German American Bank. German American Bank offers checking accounts to help manage everyday life with mobile banking, mobile bill pay, mobile check deposit, and mobile pay people. Learn more at germanamerican.com.
All right, welcome back to Red Blue Hoops, segment two, live remote here at Bar Louie, season four. Got a packed house out here at Bar Louie. I think it's a pretty well diversified crowd between Hoosier and Kentucky fans tonight, Chad. What do you
does.
Think?
It does. I think it is. Pretty
good.
It's
been good. A lot of fun so far.
Absolutely.
So for the break, I was wrapping up the information on the Alabama game. Again, we ended up winning that game by 10, Chad. It was a close back and forth game. Last 5 minutes, Kentucky was able to pull away. Great. It was a must win for Kentucky last
Absolutely.
Saturday.
We said
so
that last week on the show.
A lot of pressure, and they were actually able to perform. Thank
What's
goodness.
What's that like Alabama? They are top 50 win probably, right?
They were. They were ranked, I think, 41st KenPom going into last Saturday. I think they're hanging around 44. Now, Alabama got destroyed last night at Auburn.
I saw that. Surprised
got
me
destroyed.
Because Auburn played with like seven scholarship players last
seven
night.
Seven scholarship players last night, and they rolled rolled Alabama by 20. I think we have another question or comment here from the floor.
Oh, we do. He's
this is a Kentucky legend fan, Jason Blue.
After the Alabama win, after the Arkansas win, Calipari made a few changes. You think he's settled in on a lineup now?
Absolutely. That was actually my next game notes, Jason. Well, that's a perfect segue. Calipari, when Jared Vanderbilt came back after his long-term injury with the foot, the lineup was a little bit unoriented with itself, and he decided to go to a rotation like an NBA, like you're going to rotate in and out in
sure.
a segment of two or three players at a time. And that's when we went into a four-game losing streak, okay? So he's now going with the dogs that are going to win, and he's thrown the rotations out the window. As an example, Hamidou Diallo, this guy came in as our second-best player on paper this year. This kid went to the NBA Combine last spring, came out of the Combine, projected to go somewhere between 28 and 35 in last year's draft. So our fan base and Calipari had huge expectations from this kid.
Yeah.
Freak athlete, 44-inch vertical. He had the all-time highest vertical in NBA Combine history.
Yeah.
But he's just not producing this year for Kentucky. He looks like he's drinking from the largest fire hose in history.
He's still on the mock draft board, 28. That's shocking.
I think that's inaccurate. I think he's fallen off the most recent ones I've seen. But his minutes played here recently, folks. I think at Arkansas he played 7 minutes. So this kid went from like 25 minutes a game down to 7. And when he's out of the game, we play great.
Yep.
I think it was at Auburn, second half. We're down. He took Diallo out. We went on a 12-2 run. He brings him back in. Auburn goes on a 7-0 run. So in Arkansas,
that's not a good plus minus,
no.
right?
So he's sticking. So Jason, we're definitely getting down to a much tighter rotation. I think he's going to run about six guys with three guys in support roles. in the next few games.
What about Brad Calipari? Is he going to get minutes?
No, okay. No Brad Calipari. Okay. No. Not an option.
Hey, last week you said there was a rumor that a Kentucky player was transferring or leaving or something.
Considering transferring.
Any update on that? Or
maybe it's Brad.
You said he was the most important recruit ever at Kentucky.
He was at the time.
Yeah.
But he's not producing. I better not say that. But I was going to say to be short and something and a little bit not most athletic, you need to hit a three-point shot. He's shooting
9%. 12%. Oh, was it
9% is career.
Okay. Wow.
So, again, okay, our last most recent game, we were on the road at Arkansas this past Tuesday night. It was an 8 o'clock game. It coincided with your all's game against Nebraska. So, ironically, Chad, this season I've watched more Indiana basketball than some of the people that are Hoosier fans sitting in this room tonight. I know for a fact I have, right?
We appreciate that.
But I missed your last two games because –
Same time,
same
right?
exact time, which
yep.
is unfortunate.
Yep.
In fact, I've watched some Indiana games at Indiana House right here, the Gray's House.
I like it.
But, again, at Arkansas, it's one of the toughest places to play historically in the SEC. It was a sellout. You ever heard them call the Hogs? Pick
Oh,
Sue?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I predicted a loss. I mean,
you did?
I bet Woodward teammate Rick Starr that Kentucky was going to lose. He took the win for Kentucky, so he beat me on that bet.
Wow, but so you did. See, I know Indiana may get beat, but I never tell somebody they're going to lose.
I thought for sure we were going to lose
Beck.
That game. I know. Well,
man.
I'm keeping it real, man. Hashtag keep it real.
That's true.
I felt like we were going to lose.
That's true.
We were five-point dogs
yeah.
in that game. Think about – okay, check that out, Wayne. You'll like this. You guys are only one-and-a-half dogs at home, right, against Ohio State. We were five-point dogs to Arkansas. So we've been struggling.
And Arkansas have been playing really well.
Really
too.
Well.
And that's a tough place to play. It's Bud Walton Arena.
Bud Walton Arena.
Yeah.
And by the way, some fans out there may not realize, but Mike Anderson and Cal Perry are not the best of friends in the SEC. I'll just leave it at that. But
yeah, they had a blow-by after the game.
They blitzed us in the beginning. We started out down 11 points, 0-11. We were not rebounding. We were not physically or mentally ready for the game. Arkansas was getting offensive rebound after offensive rebound. They kept jacking threes, and all of a sudden it's 11-0. We call timeout. Thankfully, Cal Perry quickly went to his bench, and the bench came in and got the game back to where it's competitive again. And then at halftime, it was a run-and-gun show in the first half, which is unusual for us, as you know. We can't
right.
score that much.
Right.
43 all at half. I couldn't believe it. But our bench was playing great.
You're welcome. Because I saw
you turned the game on?
I did. I saw it was 11-0. I'm like, I'm going to enjoy this for a little bit. And then you guys came back. So you're welcome.
Well, funny thing about intern Walker, he has these little funny mathematical equations in his head. So we start out down 0-11. So we went 87-72. So Walker said, Dad, we finished the game on an 87-61 run.
That's
I'm
nice.
Like, what?
It was true.
It is true.
Facts.
Facts
don't
right.
lie. Facts don't lie. That's right.
The interesting part about that night, we had two freshman point guards playing together, Alexander and Green, going against a senior-laden backcourt on the road against full-court pressure, formerly known as 40 minutes of hell. Again, Mike Anderson comes from the Nolan Richardson coaching tree.
Yeah.
And sure enough, there was full court pressure the entire time. And we have been very turnover prone this season, without a doubt. Somewhat like the Hoosiers.
Absolutely.
Almost exactly like the Hoosiers.
Yeah.
We don't care for the ball very well, do we?
I mean,
both of our teams throw the ball straight to the other jersey.
We turn the ball over, we don't shoot free throws well, and we don't shoot the ball particularly well. So if Indiana and Kentucky play, that wouldn't be
it could be an ugly game.
47-42 final or something like that. I don't know.
Like any other UE game or something right now?
Yeah, no
that's,
kidding.
That's true.
I mean,
yeah. Yeah, unfortunately.
So back to our guard play. Again, two freshman guards against all the senior experience and the full court pressure. We only turned the ball over 11 times, which I'm absolutely ecstatic with that number. That's actually Cal Perry's target number for any game is 11 turnovers. He says anything below 11 means we're not playing aggressive enough. So that's kind of his magical number of 11.
Makes sense.
And we had more steals than they did down there, which I couldn't believe. Surprising stat. So, but you didn't get to watch any of the game. You should have watched the game versus the Nebraska game.
So to your point about turnovers, Indiana had 19 turnovers against Nebraska.
Does Nebraska press?
They don't. They play a good man-to-man defense,
Good man-to-man
half-court
defense.
So 19 and a half a court?
19, yes. And it turned into 26 points for Nebraska. You just can't win. On the road, you can't win at home. You can't win in your backyard. It's just not going to happen.
Tell you what, for Kentucky fans out there, a key stat these last two games, I mentioned rebounding. We've been absolutely dominant. We've out-rebounded our last two opponents 90-56, which, again, just a short while ago, we were not out-rebounding our opponents very well. And that's one of Calipari's staples.
It is. And you guys have Nick Richards is 7 foot, right?
Yeah, but his he's like Diallo, man. His minutes are diminishing for two reasons. He's inconsistent, and he gets in foul trouble. I mean, he can literally look at somebody and draw a foul.
So who rebounds? Well, Vanderbilt's a good one, right?
Vanderbilt, PJ Knox. Vanderbilt, yeah. I tell you what, the surprise is Knox. He leads the team in rebounding this year.
That does surprise
me. He sure does. But fantastic statistics for the game. We had 5 players in double figures. Again, plus 17 on rebounds. We had 18 points off offensive rebounds, which I love to hear.
That's solid.
But the bench produced 38 points, Chad, in that road game the other night. So it's pretty cool.
Against a good team on the road, that's huge.
Yeah.
Huge.
Again, for our listeners out there just tuning in to 88.3 or live streaming on WNIN.org, we are not taking phone calls tonight. We are live at Bar Louie on the east side of Evansville. We're taking questions and comments from the crowd tonight.
We need a question.
We do need a question.
We need a question. She's got
question.
One Indiana fan right here.
Oh, hey.
Yes.
In fact,
right, here we go.
This is Sophie Gray, one of my true Hoosier best friends.
All right.
Oh, yes. All right. So last week you were talking about Indiana maybe being able to sneak into the tournament.
Absolutely.
If they dominated the last 3 regular season games.
Yes.
So after that hard loss to Nebraska a few days ago, how are you feeling about the tournament now?
Yeah. Not as good as I felt last week.
Yeah.
How about that? Good question.
I like
Thank
that.
You.
Hey, see
Thank
that's
you.
Why she's a good Indiana fan. She
keeps
it real.
She is. So my blueprint to the tournament is obviously we got to beat Ohio State. We have to get – I think if we get 3 wins in the Big Ten tournament, that would take us all the way to the championship. I think we're on the bubble. I think the only automatic is by winning the tournament now. That Nebraska loss was a huge loss because they were a top 50 team on the road. That was going to be a good win for us. But, hey, tournaments in Madison Square Garden, things can get crazy out there as it happens in New York City.
Yeah.
I'm forecasting a nice run.
Wow.
Archie, did anybody see Archie Miller after the Nebraska game? Or really during the Nebraska game, he was mad.
I would be too if you're turning the ball over 19 times.
Well, he wanted that game bad. So I look for them to play well tomorrow night, and look out. MSG, here we come. Awesome question. We're going to win it.
Thanks,
I'll just say we're going to win it. How about that?
That's awesome. Hey, I got a quote for you guys. It applies to both teams. Success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts. Anybody know who's the quote that is? Oh, Dave Mitchell. Boom! Winston Churchill.
Nice.
You win a free drink from German American Bank.
They're supporting everything.
They are, man.
Tell you what, folks, before we came on the air tonight, Chad asked if we should touch on a story that broke last week right before we went on the air.
Yes.
And that's the Yahoo Sports story that broke last week about some elevated attention to the FBI investigation into NCAA basketball. Reflecting back last fall, there were 4 teams that got hit by the FBI investigation: Auburn, Arizona, Louisville, and I think USC was the 4th one. Does that sound right? USC out west. Is that right,
Makes
Pat?
Makes sense.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So the story last week says that there's now up to as many 50 programs in the country that have been investigated by or found some information by the FBI, like 4,000 wiretaps, endless amounts of documents, bank records, yada, yada, yada. And a lot of this is stemming back to the agent that had his agency raided. Andy Miller, is that his name?
Andy Miller.
I think it goes by ASM or AMS.
I think so.
Agency.
Yeah.
And so people are starting to try and figure out what agency and what other coaches is this guy tied, or what other coaches and programs is this agency tied to. And we have found out, what do you think, Chad, some other programs that come to mind?
Duke. Kansas.
Arizona.
Maybe Michigan State. But that article says it will alter the landscape of college basketball, if it would mess with those programs we just discussed, look out. I mean.
Yeah. But you talk about 50 programs, and they said at least half of the top 16 seeds that were shown in the NCAA preview show. I mean, it will absolutely rock the landscape of college basketball. But there's a lot of dynamics about this case that are unique. If people hear about a school's being investigated by the FBI, that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be an NCAA violation. As an example, Auburn's coach, Chuck Person, was indicted by the FBI, by the federal government, but his actions aren't currently an NCAA violation because it's not in their policy book. It's above and beyond. It's like an SEC violation.
Which is odd.
A lot of moving parts here. And to give you some timelines on this, people are really antsy about hearing more and more information. Those cases that were broken last fall, those will not be heard by the grand jury until 2019 at the earliest. So this is going to be a long, drawn-out process. Who knows what's going to happen. But this is a excellent segue about our neighbors up 64 to the east.
Oh, there's a Louisville fan over at the bar earlier.
Well,
she asked me if we would talk about Louisville. I said we might. I don't know what it's going to be about, but
it's a huge story that's broken in our region in college basketball, and you guys play them. You played them this year.
We did. Well,
so what happened was the NCAA denied the appeal that the Louisville Cardinals had filed for all the charges dating back to the prostitution scandal that rocked the Louisville program.
Right.
So denied, 4 years on probation, limited four or less scholarships. And
the banner came down.
Banner came down, financial penalty. So, again.
Rick Pitino's tattoo, he might have to rub that off now.
Someone posted a video of that. Maybe it was Godsey that posted a video of that. But the interesting part, that has nothing to do with the most recent information that came out last fall about the $100,000 pay-to-play deal with the Bowen kid. So that program may face a death penalty here in the near future.
Rick Pitino is just an awful human being.
He's lost his mind. Today he was on a radio show in Louisville, and he said – he's astonished that the Board of Governors or whatever it's called at Louisville let him go because he had his best recruiting class in history coming in. He had 2-5. I mean, the guy's lost all reality.
I think he called that McGee. Was it McGee?
Yeah, Andre McGee.
He called McGee one of his rogue assistants, and he was there for 8 years.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. You got to know what that guy's doing.
Yeah, Ricky. Unreal. He's like, well, I ran a clean program for 31 years. That doesn't excuse you to run a bad program for 5.
Well, and a fact on Rick, his first job was at Hawaii. I didn't know this, but he coached at Hawaii, either assistant or head coach. And when he left there, they had allegations against them everywhere that dude's went, including Kentucky. Well, I don't know if Kentucky's on that list.
He didn't have any allegations at Kentucky, thankfully.
Yeah.
But tell you what, folks, we're wrapping up our second segment of Red Blue Hoops live at Bar Louie. We'll come back for our last segment of the night. Go Big Blue.
Go Hoosiers.
Support for Red Blue Hoops comes from German American Bank. German American Bank helps businesses achieve their financial goals by offering consulting and business lending and cash flow optimization for a wide range of industries. Learn more at germanamerican.com.
All right, folks, welcome back to Red Blue Hoops live at Bar Louie here on Evansville's East Side. We're going into our third segment and final segment of the night.
It's flying by, as it normally does.
Again, to our listeners out there listening to 88.3 WNIN and our live streamers on WNIN.org, we are not taking phone calls tonight as we are live at Bar Louie and taking questions and comments from the floor. I think we're going to go to the intern, Walker, right now with a question.
Am I up?
You're up. You're on,
so,
bro.
So we have Kim Payton here.
Kim Payton, All-American caller.
That is my mother right there.
Do you have anything to report about KenPom this week?
We do.
Well, absolutely.
We do have some KenPom data. Ken's question is, do we have anything to report on KenPom? 4 years ago, we invented a new index to follow called the RBH index. We took the four mathematical ranking systems, KenPom, BPI, RPI, which is antiquated. It needs to be thrown out by the NCAA if they're still using it for some reason because it doesn't work. And the old one called Sagarin. We take all four of those, blend them together, and it spits out the index of your team. So right now this week, Indiana has a ranking of 79, which you guys are up.
I got 73.
Well,
did you see?
My calculator works, I think.
When did you look at it?
That was this morning.
Okay,
fresh.
So it updated last night. All
yeah,
right.
KenPom,
it's
folks.
Real time, right?
KenPom updates by the game. So Kentucky, as of this morning, was ranked 21.5, which is up a little bit. Give you some stats. Indiana's offense is ranked 94th. Defense is 54th. That's been your big improvement as defense.
It has. Yep.
Kentucky's offense is ranked 49th. Their defense is ranked 19th, which is a big improvement. The key deal, back to Sophie's question about getting into the tournament. Again, if you had won at Nebraska, it would have been a big win.
Absolutely would have.
But, again, I've been saying all season, your big negative, your non-conference strength of schedule is still ranked 264th in the nation. The Big Ten has a terrible non-conference schedule this year as a whole.
Yeah.
You have not a single team in the top 100.
Which
SEC, I looked at today with Indiana fan Zach Martin, the SEC has 9 teams in the top 20 schedules in the nation right now. You've got to schedule better games.
Well, but we normally do. You guys finally did, though.
This is something that we were really weak at, terribly weak at as a conference. I mean, one of the worst in the nation.
Yep.
But our league commissioner went to each school president and AD and said, you got to get a better schedule going, and they have, and it's paying off for us. Then you're going back to the 4-4 question.
All right.
We got ready?
Yes, sir. We're ready.
I know this is a really wide-open question, but I was wanting to see who you, Evan, would like to see Kentucky get as a really high recruit next year.
Okay, great question.
That point guard.
That's a big question. Right now we have three signees coming in. We have three guards. We have Keldon Johnson, who's our top recruit coming out of Oak Hill Academy. He's an absolute stud. We have Emmanuel Quickley, who's a true point guard coming in. He's ranked in the top 15. And then our third commitment right now is Tyler Hero from Wisconsin. He was an original Wisconsin commitment. He's a 6'4 shooting guard, and he's coming to Kentucky as well. They're all three ranked 5-star recruits. But the final two pieces that we're trying to get, we're going after a kid named E.J. Washington out of Atlanta, out of Birmingham, Alabama. Montgomery, Alabama. Thank you.
Okay.
E.J. Montgomery. Okay, thanks, Walker. Walker keeps me lined up here. E.J. Montgomery. No, we have three wrapped up, Johnson, Quickley, and Hero. Montgomery, we're trying to get in late, but Duke's after him, Carolina's after him, we're after him, I think, one other school. But he's a big man, kind of in the mode of an Anthony Davis, kind of thin, athletic, plays inside, outside. And then there's still an outside chance that the number one player in the 2019 class, James Wiseman out of Memphis, there's a chance he may reclassify and come to UK, which will be beautiful because he's a young player in his class. And due to his age, he would have to stay at whatever college he goes to for 2 years because he would not be old enough to meet the NBA minimum. But he's going to wait to see which of our big men go or stay before he makes a decision. That's what he's waiting on.
Yeah.
Cal Perry was there last night recruiting Wiseman. We've got a really good chance of landing, but great question.
Yeah, thanks, man.
UK recruiting is always fun to follow. How about Indiana recruiting? How are you guys looking for next year?
We're good. We got a point guard, Rob Fennessy, that's coming in. Demezi Anderson from South Bend can flat out shoot the rock. Jerome Hunter's probably our best recruit right now, top 50. Jake Forrester as well as a big man. And then that does not include Race Thompson, who was a high school senior that went ahead and came to Indiana this year and redshirted. So obviously the big question is, Romeo, oh Romeo, where are you?
There, Romeo,
right? So that's a big one. Obviously, my take is if we get him, Indiana's a national championship contender next year.
Whoa!
I'll call it.
Yep. What? National championship contender?
Absolutely.
You're going to go
Hey, we'll be right back here next year, and you'll say, you're right, Chad. I promise. Now, we have to get Romeo to do that.
Wayne, what do you think about that? National title contender? Wow.
Hey.
That's bold.
Deron Davis will be back. Jawan Morgan will
be back. You
okay,
buddy?
Hey. We'll see. Now, if we don't get Romeo, Archie will probably get a grad transfer or something. Indiana will be a ton better next year. And you think about the improvement and the perspective that we have. We're 16-13. I know we've struggled off and on. Our defense is playing better. Archie is getting the fundamentals down. I know the turnovers are still an issue.
Yep.
But we're getting rid of that personnel. So he's going to bring these guys in next year. Archie was a point guard for North Carolina State. He knows you have to win with guards.
He
said that on his presser the other day. So I look for a huge improvement in that. And we got these big guys coming back next year. Deron Davis may be the best recruit we have because he's hurt. He's coming back. If he puts it together, there's a lot of moving parts that come together next year for Indiana. It really is.
Well, I'll tell you what, when the question came in about Kentucky recruiting, it made me think about something we've touched on this year. Some of the Kentucky fan base has, quote-unquote, one-and-done fatigue. Again, we have a lot of turnover in our program, and some of our fans, some here in the room tonight, say they have one-and-done fatigue. They can't get to know the players well enough. I don't really care about all that. I want you to come and perform. If you go to the NBA, go to the NBA, whatever. But for those that like to get to know this year's team better, there's a new video stream called Facebook Watch. It's a documentary called Inside the Madness, Kentucky Basketball. They released the first segment last Saturday, and it's very well done. And it spends most of the time focusing on the players behind the scenes, getting to see them interact with their family, you know, other coaches, the things that go on in normal college life, right?
Right.
So, again,
right.
You can go on to Facebook, search Inside the Madness, Kentucky Basketball. I think Kentucky fans will get a lot of enjoyment by watching those video segments. Segment two will be released this Saturday. Going back to the floor, we got Georgia Tech commit Adam Bratton in the house with a question.
He was in the studio with us last week.
A.K.A. Biscuit.
That's right. Evan, what are the odds that Keith Bratson gets kicked out of Rupp Arena this weekend?
Okay. That's a great – okay, Adam's question is, what are the odds that Keith Bratton, his father – we're taking Keith and Don to Rupp Arena this weekend for the Missouri game. Now, a little insight here. Keith went to UK for 2 years on the golf team and then transferred back to Illinois, so –
does he call himself the mule?
That's,
he calls
that's
that,
what or? I call him, the mule, because he packed me around the golf course one day in a match against Walker and Adam.
And he hangs out with Marty a little bit, too. Marty
Big
Simmons,
Marty
right?
Simmons fan.
Yeah, okay, okay.
Actually, Adam, I'm more concerned about Dawn than Keith. I've seen her in action at sporting events. And
yeah, Dawn can get pretty crazy at basketball games.
But I want to commend Dawn wearing Kentucky blue tonight, Dawn. I appreciate that. Murray State grad, Dawn Bratton.
I see that. Absolutely.
Thank you, Adam. Appreciate that, bro. That's an excellent question. What else you got, Chad?
So, Archie Miller, I pulled the last 4 years at Dayton, his last 10 game regular season games
stat.
Every year, and he's 32-8. So, for it, how that correlates is his winning percentage is 68% as a coach right now, but in the last 10 games of the regular season, it goes up to 80%. So, he gets his teams playing the best when you're supposed to, and really he's doing that with Indiana now. Indiana, with the scheduling in the Big Ten, really they lost that – they had that four-game losing streak.
Right.
Losing to Bratton's Illinois, guys.
Oh, that was just
a ridiculous loss.
Tough loss right there.
It was. Outside of that, though, we had three losses that were respectable. I mean, at Michigan State – or Michigan State, Purdue, and Ohio State. So – and then we come back with four wins that we're supposed to. And now it's just about tomorrow night getting a win at home against Ohio State. And I'm excited about Miller. I just think he's the man.
Archie?
Yeah, about Archie, absolutely. I'm excited about what he's doing. And I think Wayne said this before, Indiana is at their best. Indiana's at – we got Shooter yelling some stuff in, but Indiana's at their best when they have Indiana players. So if they –
guys could recruit your home state.
Well, so if we get – right now we have two of the top three coming in with Fennessy and the Demezi Anderson. If we get Romeo Langford, we'll have the three of the top four players in the state. And that's when we usually win Big Ten tournaments or Big Ten titles.
You've never won a Big Ten tournament.
That's what's going to happen this year in Madison Square Garden. I said it earlier to her. So it's going to be interesting. And the Big Ten tournament, Evan, starts
perfect.
Next week.
Well, that's my next note. I was going to segue.
Yeah.
It's unusual this year. Tell us about what's going on. Why are you guys playing your conference tournament a week early this year?
Yeah, so because of Rutgers and, I guess, Maryland, the Big Ten thought it was a great idea to go out to New York City and have the Big Ten tournament out there. So I'm sure there'll be about 2,500 fans in Madison Square Garden going crazy. But to Indiana's – I've always heard that Indiana has a huge fan base in New York City, so our huge alumni there.
Shooter's fired up.
He is.
Is anyone here in the crowd going to the Big Ten tournament this year?
Anybody?
Is anyone in the crowd going to the Big Ten tournament this year in New York?
Yeah, it's in New York.
Is anyone in the crowd going to the SEC tournament in St. Louis? Yeah.
No, we got that's perfect. Perfect place to go.
I mean, we're going to an odd location this year, and so are you guys.
Yeah. So right now, as it stands, Indiana would be the sixth seed in the Big Ten tournament.
Playing on what day?
Playing on Thursday.
The winner of?
They would actually play the winner of, I believe, Minnesota and Illinois, I think,
Uh-oh.
Is where we're at there.
You beat both those teams recently at home, right?
We did. Yep. So I guess the word that could change is if we lost and Penn State won, then Penn State would be the sixth seed and we would be the seventh seed playing our nemesis, Wisconsin. So they asked Archie Miller earlier this morning or this afternoon in a press conference, they said, hey, would you rather be the sixth seed or the seventh seed? And Archie said, the sixth seed, because that's the better team. If I got a choice between seven and six, I'm going to be the six. So just a matter of fact, that's why I like Miller a lot.
What's interesting, in the SEC tournament, there's a position you can be a better seed but play the last game on Friday night.
Oh, no kidding.
And then you got to turn around and play it like 3 o'clock on Saturday. You don't want to be in that late Friday night game. We were down there in Atlanta in 2002. We walked out of the old Georgia Dome like 12:45 in the morning.
Oh, no kid.
Yeah.
Wow.
And had to play whatever. It's tough.
Yeah, that's interesting. So, if Indiana, obviously Ohio State tomorrow night at home, 1.5-point dogs. I'm going to say we win that, and then Thursday play in the Big Ten tournament. Time still just depends on where we're seated or how that works. But that for us to make a run, we would have to win Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
So we're doing a show next week.
Yeah, it could be.
And then hopefully the following week.
That's correct.
So hopefully two more shows. So our Kentucky's upcoming games, we had some breaking news just before we went on the air today. We are hosting Missouri. I mentioned the Brats are going with us up to Lexington to the Mecca this Saturday, as John calls it. But their best player has been hurt all year, Michael Porter Jr., number one draft pick, projected draft pick in this next year's draft, has been cleared medically to play this Saturday. So it's perfect timing for Missouri to get their best player back coming to Rupp Arena. So
it'll be interesting to see how much playing time he truly gets.
I'm looking forward to seeing him up close and personal. Keith and I will get in there early. We'll get down there and scout it out.
Absolutely.
You know, yes. Before the game starts. And then we finish the season with Tom Crean. Oh, Tom Crean's on TV right now? You know, Tom Crean has found a good home. He's good at TV. He actually is. He does a good job. He doesn't clap as much as he used to.
Hey, listen, I tweeted today that I hope in Tom Crean's spare time he learned how to run an out-of-bounds play and attack a zone.
Well, that Syracuse game you guys had back in 2013, was that right?
Yes.
Against Syracuse?
Yes.
Whew, that was ugly.
If you watch, so X's and O's, if you watch Archie Miller, when Indiana plays against a zone, it's two passes and a layup. Seriously, watch that. That's where we know Archie's the man.
Hey, just got some breaking news on my you can read it right here. Romeo is a silent commitment to Vanderbilt.
Now, somebody's gonna do that during the show, of course.
It came from a good source over there. But, again, back to Kentucky's last couple games. We finish up our regular season next Wednesday. No, we don't. We finish up our home slate of the season next Wednesday hosting Ole Miss. And then we go on the road and play at Florida, which 3 weeks ago I told you we'd guaranteed to lose that game. But Florida's been playing kind of odd at home lately. I mean, I don't know what's going on with them.
Remember
right now.
Remember when Loyola, Illinois beat them at Florida this year?
I do not.
Yeah, early in the year, Missouri Valley.
They have been extremely up and down this year,
yeah.
Florida Gators. Tell you what, folks, we are down to our final 5.5 minutes, so if you guys have any questions or comments.
Where's Gotze at? He's got to ask a question.
Where's Mama Joe? Mama Joe, got any questions for us back there tonight? No, nothing.
That's a friend of mine, Casey Zeller. She used to be
a Woodward teammate of mine.
That's right. That's right. And unfortunately, she's a UK fan too. I don't know. Good job, Casey.
Shooter, how you doing, Shooter? Yeah. But from the mob squad over here, Zach Martin, Zach, his gang. No questions or comments over here tonight.
Zach, you got to ask.
He's
a question.
He's not paying attention.
You got to ask a question.
Nah, he doesn't have anything. He wasn't prepared.
He's got something. He's leaning in here.
Is he really?
Oh, he wants the mic.
Okay, here we go, Zach Martin. No, we got to turn the mic on. Oh, hey, Burger. Oh, we got Burger. Here we go. It's on. Red light's on. Nope. No dice. There we go. Try it again, Zach.
Nope.
Sorry, buddy. Hey, real quick, some exciting news that we touched on.
We tried.
I want to take a poll, everybody here tonight. Yes or no, would you be excited if the NBA came to Louisville? Yep. It'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it?
I think it'd
be great
for
the region. I think it'd be really cool. And the only reason that's happening is Tom Jurich and Rick Pitino got fired. They were blocking the NBA coming to Louisville. When the Charlotte Bobcats located in Charlotte, they would have been in Louisville if Jurich and Pitino had not blocked that.
Think
about the economic loss this entire region suffered by that decision. Massive.
Rick Pitino was the most selfish individual that I think there's ever been.
Hello.
I mean, just ridiculous.
Here we go.
Yeah, I can hear me.
Mike's live.
Zach Martin.
Zach, let's do it now.
Here we go, Zach. Here's your chance, man, to shine.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Hear you now.
Kelvin Sampson.
We're back in business.
Yeah.
We're back in business.
Let's talk about the last game, Chad. I don't know how much has been talked about because it's been a little difficult to hear in here tonight. But
okay.
Let's talk about these turnovers for Indiana and what happened with our three key guards. I think compiled about 13 turnovers. We've done a better job this year with it than we did last year. Mm-hmm. But what's going on there, do you think?
I don't know. It's a good question. Devontae Green was playing well, should have had a lot of confidence, and he just did not get it done. Now, to Nebraska, they do play good defense at home, but it's a half-court defense, and he wasn't locked in. Miller said that after the game. He said, hey, Devontae just didn't have it tonight, and unfortunately, when you have to go to Josh Newkirk, we all know what we're getting with Newkirk. I mean, it's just – he's going to throw the ball away at key times. He's going to take bad shots. And so the good thing is next year, Zach, when we go to the bench, the personnel will be better. So that hopefully will solve some of those problems. And even like guys like Al Durham, Al Durham's not a point guard, man. So he gets put in spots where he's not comfortable either. And then Robert Johnson, too. Robert Johnson's not a point guard. He's got to be a two. He doesn't want to handle the ball. So I don't know. It just unfortunately took a step back there. But Archie in his presser was positive. He said, hey, we're looking towards Ohio State, and let's take care of business at home. So
good question,
we'll
Zach. Appreciate it.
Yeah, great question.
Yes, sir. Fire away. You got,
one more thing. Can you guys still hear me?
Yes,
sir.
What about a Romeo update?
I just gave you an update. Just got a text from Owensboro. He's a silent verbal to Vanderbilt.
Of course he would say that.
It just came in. All I'm doing is reading this.
Chad, you have anything to add to that?
He's a god in Indiana.
Boy,
he
is
signs
he, yeah.
autographs for 2 hours after every game.
He does.
It would just shock me
exactly.
to say that, to see him go elsewhere. But, you know, SEC must be throwing a lot of money at him. I mean, that's all I can say. I don't know. He might have some money. Wow. Bryce Drew might have 20 grand in a duffel bag like blue chips or a new tractor or something. I don't know.
Bob Knight was a new tractor guy.
Yeah, that's right.
Down to 1 minute, folks. I tell you what, let's wrap things up, do a couple of house calls again. Really want to thank all of our friends at German American Bank for your sponsorship to Red Blue Hoops this year.
Thank you, guys.
Season four. I want to give my buddy and co-host Chad, I really mean this. If it wasn't for you, I would not still be in this show. You're doing a great job.
Thank you, man.
Appreciate
likewise,
that.
Evan. Thank you. Appreciate the kind
You definitely
comments.
Hashtag keep it real.
Yes, sir.
And thanks for all the Indiana and Kentucky fans and other fans for showing up tonight for our first live remote. Hopefully we can make this an annual occurrence, all right? So thank you all very much. And, Chad, I guess good luck against Ohio State.
Thank you. Let's hopefully get it done, and we'll talk to everybody, I guess, next week.
Got 20 seconds. Yeah. So you got Ohio State. We're going to watch the game tomorrow night.
With my beautiful wife.
Oh, Lisa. Lisa.
Lisa, Lisa.
She can't hear you back there.
She can't.
I'll tell you, you said something nice to her.
That's right.
All right, folks. We'll be back next week for Red Blue Hoops. Look forward to hearing you guys back in the studio. Go Big Blue.
Go Hoosiers.
We're out.
Production support for Red Blue Hoops is provided by Evansville Teachers Federal Credit Union. Red Blue Hoops is a production of WNIN Tri-State Public Media. The executive producer is Brad Kimmel. Steve Berger is the producer. The technical director is Maria Thomas. The opinions in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of WNIN staff or board of directors, or, for that matter, Purdue fans, Evansville fans, USI fans, Louisville fans, and certainly not Duke fans.